Our first lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 11 to 17. I'm reading from the Good News Bible. I read, "With his great power, the Lord warned me not to follow the path which the people were following. He said, 'Do not join in the schemes of the people and do not be afraid of the things that they fear. Remember that I, the Lord Almighty, am holy. I am the one you must fear. Because of my awesome holiness, I am like the stone that the people stumble over. I am like a trap that will catch the people of the kingdom of the Judah and Israel and the people of Jerusalem. Many will stumble, they will fall, and they will be crushed. They will be caught in a trap.'" I continue with verse 16. My disciples are to guard and preserve the messages that God has given me. The Lord has hidden himself from his people, but I trust him and place my hope in him." I will continue with our second lesson, which is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. I read, "Since Christ suffered physically, you too must strengthen yourselves with the same way of thinking that he had, because whoever suffers physically is no longer involved with sin. From now on, then, you must live the rest of your earthly life controlled by God's will and not by human desires. You have spent enough time in the past doing what they hate and like to do. Your lives were spent in indecency, lust, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and a disgusting worship of idols. And now the heathen are surprised when you do not join them in the same wild and reckless living, and so they insult you. But they will have to give an account of themselves to God, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached also to the dead, to those who had been judged in their physical existence as everyone is judged. It was preached to them so that in their spiritual existence they may live as God lives. The end of all this is near. You must be self-controlled and alert to be able to pray. Above everything, love one another earnestly, because love covers over many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining, each one as a good messenger. As good messenger of God's different gift, must use for the good of others special gift he has received from God. Whoever preaches must preach God's messages. Whoever serves must serve with the strength that God gives him, so that in all things praise may be given to God through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and power forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Patience. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you. I thank you for prophets like Isaiah who warn us of the consequences of our sin. And I thank you for disciples like Peter, who learned firsthand what happens when you don't listen to Jesus. Help us, God, to hear your word for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I remember when I was little and I got to stay home from school, there was one show in particular that I looked forward to watching. And some of you, the show's been on the air long enough that some of you may also have watched the same show, which was The Price is Right. And it was on at like 11 o'clock or something like that on weekday mornings, which meant days homesick were the only days that I got to see it, right? And if you don't know, it's this silly show where people from the audience come and they're contestants and they have to guess the prices of common or not so common household items. And there's all these little games that they play that come up regularly. that are different week to week. And my favorite game to watch was Plinko. So I had a picture, and then I didn't actually put it where it needed to be, so we don't have a picture. But it's a board with sort of plexiglass on in front of it, and you use these little discs, and you drop it in the top, but there's all these pegs that send the disc going all these different directions. And then there were slots at the bottom, and each slot had a different dollar amount on it. And in theory, you could win $50,000 with this game if you could hit five of these little discs into the very center slot. But the trick about it was that things bounced, and it made this really satisfying, like, click, 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 as it would move through the board. And sometimes they would drop the same, you would drop it where you thought it was gonna go, and then it would go off sideways. And it was just, I don't know what it was I loved about this game, but I found it fascinating to watch, and it was always a special treat if it was on the days that I got to watch The Price is Right. And I was thinking, when I was thinking about the maze for the kids, and I was thinking about the Plinko game as these really interesting metaphors for sometimes how life appears to be going. We think we know where we're starting, we think we know where we're going, but the bumps and things that happen along the way sometimes send us sideways. And then sometimes they actually knock us back to where we were trying to go. And when we look at our lives from the perspective of the ways of the world, it can all feel a little bit haphazard. But if we look at our lives through the right lens, I think a lot of it can often start to make sense, or at least starts to show some meaning. And that's what I think was happening with Peter. So we've talked about Peter quite a bit this year, this Eastertide and Lent leading up to Easter. There's a lot to say about him. And so I thought I would finish off as we start this new series thinking about what it means to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And we actually started last week when we heard from some ladies in our congregation about the impact their faith has had on raising children, or their impact their mother's faith had on them. But Peter bounces a lot around in Scripture and in his life. He bounces between passion and failure. He bounces between faithful following and denial. He bounces around in his determination and eventually in his redemption. And then towards the end of his life, he wrote two letters to try to talk to other Christians who were struggling and who were facing persecution. And with the benefit, perhaps, of hindsight and what he had experienced over his life, he tries to help them figure out how to live their lives. And he invites us to listen as well. Because a lot of Peter's troubles stem from the voices he chose to listen to and the ones he didn't. So you'll remember at the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter falls asleep when Jesus tells him to stay awake and to pray. But I mean, really, who can blame him? He was tired, it was night. Why wouldn't he fall asleep? Just a little nap won't hurt. Even after he sees Jesus resurrected from the dead, Peter goes back to his old routine because he doesn't know what else to do. He invites his friends fishing because before he was a follower of Jesus, he was a fisherman. And I'm sure it all looked very rational and reasonable. He's got to make a living. Jesus isn't there to care for him, so why not go back to fishing? And yet they didn't catch a single thing until Jesus showed up in the morning. Even after he became a leader of the church, Peter was not perfect. And we read about in Galatians, Paul talks about how even though Peter had this wonderful dream where God told him that he could eat the food that had been unclean, that he could go, and he went and saw Cornelius, all that was good. But later on, he felt this pressure from other Jewish Christians to maintain the food rules. And so he stopped eating with the Gentiles. And Paul had to chastise him for it. although I'm sure at the time it seemed perfectly reasonable. Well, I want them to listen to me, so I need to sit with them and follow what they're asking me to do. But each time, Peter is redirected by Jesus or by Paul. And I imagine all of these things and many more experiences are on his mind as he writes this letter to encourage them and to us. Because he is inviting us to avoid the mistakes he made. This is the beauty of having mentors, is that we can try to learn from their mistakes so we don't have to commit the same ones. We'll make our own mistakes, of course. But if we can learn from those who are wise, then it might help us. We all have bad habits. Some of them are more destructive than others, but we all have them. And Peter says that when we start to follow Jesus, our lives should actually change dramatically. They should change so much that the people who knew us before should wonder what happened, should wonder why we're not doing those things we used to do. Doesn't mean we have to give up everything. But if there are things that we find are harmful to our walk of faith, we're supposed to give them up. Even as Christians, sometimes we can get into those bad habits, and Jesus can redirect us again and again through the course of our lives. And people might not understand why those changes have to happen. But Peter tells us why. He says, look, if you want to follow God, you need to pray, right? You need to talk to the man in charge. You need to talk to the one who knows what's going on. And that is really hard to do if you're not clear-headed and self-controlled. I wonder if Peter is imagining that moment on the hill when he fell asleep. Maybe there were things that were making him not so clear-minded at the time. He says, you need to pray. And that prayer is important because he asks us to do a lot. He has a whole little list here of things that we're invited to do. And the first and most important is we're called to love. He says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Or in other words, I think one of the things he's getting at is if we approach the situations in life, the people in life, especially the people we don't like very much, from a posture of love, then those sins we might commit are less likely to happen. Because it's when you're actively thinking about how to love someone, it's harder to hurt them. He says we are to offer hospitality without grumbling. We are to invite people in, to give them a place to be, to give them a place where they're safe and welcome. And we're invited to do that cheerfully, which is sometimes hard. And then he says we are invited to use our gifts to serve others. And this is one of the things that really gets me. When we use our gifts to serve others, we are administering God's grace. Did you know that? You are administering God's grace when you use your gifts to serve others. When Patience reads the scripture, when Rob runs the AV, when Frank rakes the front lawn, all of these things and many more that each of us do, when we use our gifts, we're administering God's grace. That's incredible. And then he says something that should scare us more than anything else that he says in this passage. He says, speak as though our words are the very words of God. So I want you to think for a moment about things you've said over the last couple days. How do you feel about those words being considered the words of God? Some of it maybe you feel okay about. Maybe some of it maybe makes you cringe a little bit. Because we're not God, we're not perfect. But this is what Peter says, right? And in other places, we're described as God's ambassadors, right? And that's what an ambassador does. Ambassador speaks on behalf of the person who has sent them. And God has sent us. It's a bit overwhelming, right? That our words are the words of God, that our gifts are administering God's grace, that everything we do should be overwhelmingly about love. What we do and what we say matters. And those actions and those words should be radically different because we follow Jesus. But Peter knows better than anybody else that it's one thing to say and another thing to live out. And that none of us are perfect. And so we get this wrong. And sometimes we say things and do things that don't reflect the love of God. That's why prayer is so important, so we can keep that connection, so that we can continue to try to follow Jesus. And Peter says that when we pray, we actually act out of God's strength rather than our own. Which, at least for me, is a great comfort, because I often don't feel like I have the strength to do what God wants me to do. But that's okay, because He will provide it. So we can invite ourselves to ask, well, what is Peter's end game here? What is it that he is hoping will be accomplished through the church that he writes to, through the church today? And he ends that passage very powerfully to tell us exactly what he thinks will happen, what he knows will happen. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That is what God will do through us if we let Him. It's what God wants to do through us as individuals and as a congregation. The question is, will we let Him? Let us pray. Gracious God, you invite us to be part of your great plan. You have named us ambassadors. And so what we do and what we say matters. Because people should hear it and wonder what makes us different. And we can point to you, to the role that Jesus has had in our lives. So help us, God. Help us, God, to stay connected to you so that we can do everything in love. We can come back to you again and again when we fail and do better each time. Because of you, because of your grace and your love and your strength. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.